under whose supervision the luminaries are moving around, under his supervision all our karmic activities are executed. As we study in Bhagavatam 3rd canto, chapter I suppose 30, while Lord Kapila was describing about the samsara of living entity, the living entity in the mode of passion, karmana daiva netrena jantur deha upapadyate pravishta udaram sriya purushareta kanashriya. So being influenced by our own past karmas, the living entity, taking the shelter of the semen of a father, enters into the womb of a mother. What is this? Karmana daiva netrena. So that daiva netra is there, na? Under the supervision of devatas. And who are working under the supervision of Dhruva? Like Dhruva is the ultimate manager of the entire universal activities. And he is situated in this particular Dhruva Loka, and hence it is called a Dhruva Loka, which is actually known, belongs to Lord Vishnu and known as Vishnupada. So that's how Dhruva controls the motion of the sun. And in the previous slide here we have discussed that the distance between from the middle of Mount Meru to chariot wheel is about 15.75 million yojanas. And sun's chariot body is somewhat inside, not exactly touching the wheel. Even if you see any vehicle, there is a body in which the luggage can be kept, and both the sides we have wheels, luggage or people can be kept. Same way, in Hanuman Chalisa, he says that what was the distance between our earth globe to the sun god, where he is situated in the middle of the chariot. So, in his Hanuman Chalisa, in one particular poem, he says that Tumharo mantra vibhishana mana lankeshwara baya sabajagajana juga sastra yojana parbanu lilyo tahi madura phaljanu. Just like you have jumped across the southern ocean to go to Lanka, similarly, in your childhood, early morning one day, looking at the sun in the midst of the tree branches, thinking it to be a fruit, you jumped across all the way up to sun. But what was the distance of the sun? Juga Sahasra Yojana. So in Siddhantic texts, there is a numerical method called as Bhuta Sankhya. So in relation to some particular well-known entity, the number is indicated. So for all practical purposes, Yuga means the four Yugas put together is known as Yuga. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga, all four put together is known as one Yuga or one Chatur Yuga or one Divya Yuga or Mahayuga. So which is lasting for 43,20,000 years. One Chatur Yuga will exist for that many human years. The same number of years, when you take in Devata years, it will be 12,000. Kali Yuga is for 1200 Devata years, Dwapara Yuga 2400, Treta Yuga 3600, Satya Yuga 4800. When you combine all the four, it comes up to 12,000 Devata years, is the time period of one Chatur Yuga. So Yuga stands for 12,000, Sahasra stands for 1,000. The total distance is 12 million yojanas, which is equal to 153.6 million kilometers. According to modern observation, the distance between sun and earth is 150 million kilometers, which is known as one astronomical unit. So here it is given, nearby round figure. See, when you tell in kilometers, 150 is round figure. When you convert 153.6 kilometers into million kilometers into kilometers into yojanas, it may become 11.6 million yojanas. In Sanskrit, writing 11.6 will be difficult. It sometimes becomes very big. It may not fit in the meter. This is the reason, because the astronomical measurements are all in numbers, in order to write all the numbers in meter, it is very difficult. That's why Vyasadeva compiled this section of Bhagavatam in prose. Otherwise, if you see, rest of the Bhagavatam is in poetry. The principal reason for writing in prose this section of Bhagavatam is, here he is talking about some places, talking about some measurements, some numbers, this and that. So these things cannot be written in a grammatical way. In the sense, following the particular meter. That's why he compiles this entire section of Bhagavatam in prose. this entire fifth canto, this part of the fifth canto is all in prose only because of this kind of reason. So here it comes up to 153.6, so which is exactly the modern observation of 150 million. Exactly means very close to it. So this is the oil pressing machine. Traditionally our ancestors used to have this kind of oil pressing machine. This is similar to Mount Meru, and this is the axle of the chariot of the sun, and it is like here bulls are there, the chariot is driven by horses, and here is the pole star. So same way, like that, exactly same as sun god's chariot. And we have sun god, who is considered to be one of the Shakti Avesh Avatar, the Supreme Lord, majestically travels in that particular chariot driven by Aruna, and the chariot is driven by 7 horses. And then after describing the sun's chariot, Bhagavatam then talks about moon. So Arka Gabastibhya Uparista Laksha Yojanato Upalabhyamanu. This is one of the topic of discussion among the devotees. Sun is near or moon is near? Which is close by? Because in the translation and also in the Parupat, Srila Prabhupada writes like that. Srila Prabhupada writes that the sun is here at a distance of 12 million yojanas, and the moon is 1 lakh yojanas above sun. Srila Prabhupada actually writes like that in the Parupat. He explains about it. If at all somebody wants to go to moon, first of all they have to travel from the earth to sun and then go upward to a distance of 1 lakh yojanas. Sun itself is a distance of 12 million yojanas, then moon is at a distance of 12.1 million yojanas. It is very far distant, so it is very difficult to travel to moon. Like that Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Parupat for this verse, 8th verse of the 22nd chapter. But if you refer to all the other astronomical texts, even the same Bhagavatam, later part of the Bhagavatam, other part of the rest of the Bhagavatam, if you see, the moon cannot be placed at so far distant. Moon is supposed to be very close to Mount Meru and Earth globe. And then how do we understand that this verse mentioned here? Arka Gabastibhya Uparista Laksha Yojanato Upalabhyamana. That means, one meaning of Gabastibhya is the rays that are spreading from the sun. The sun is a fiery entity. The rays can go in all directions. But especially among all those rays which are going in all 360 degrees, those rays which are coming to our Earth globe, to our Bharata Khanda or Bharata Varsha, like the rays which are from sun coming towards the Earth globe, with respect to those rays, the moon is placed at a height of 1 lakh yojanas. But moon is very close to Earth globe. And by the way, here, Srila Sukadeva Goswami talking about the vertical structure of the universe. With respect to Bhumandala, as you go upward toward the north, the first entity comes is sun, then the moon, then Kalachakra, then Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Saptarishi Mandal, Dhruvaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, etc. But Vayupurana says that the details mentioned in Bhagavatam and all the other Puranas are position of all these planets on one Makar Sankranti day. While Srila Vyasadeva compiling all the Puranas during that time and one particular Makar Sankranti day, what is the position of all the planets? That is being indicated by Srila Vyasadeva, not only in Bhagavatam, in all the 18 Puranas. This information is available in all the Puranas. Every Purana you read, this particular information is there. The same measurements with a difference of 2 lakh yojanas between two successive planets. There is no change. Just like sometime back we said that on Makar Sankranti, sun will be at the bottommost position towards the south. From there onwards, gradually going towards north. Same thing is applicable for all the planets. All the 9 grahas also goes upward and downward. Every planet has Uttarayana and Dakshinayana motion. But on this particular Makar Sankranti, sun was below and remaining all are above. In due course of time, the sun goes upward and the moon comes downward, and other Mars, Mercury, Venus also come downward. So this positioning is not a permanent absolute position. And today the moon may be above, apparently seems to be, sun may be below. Maybe after 15 days, the sun goes above, moon comes below. It is not a permanent position. So, kindly remember that, though Prabhupada's, in the matter of some kinds of conversation, in order to avoid debates, he might have said, sun is near, moon is far, because Sunday comes before Monday. But this logic, you cannot keep it further. After Monday, what comes? Tuesday. Tuesday is corresponding to Mangala. Mangala is Mars. But Mars is fifth position. Sun, Moon, constellations, then Mercury, Venus, then Mars. The logic cannot be applicable for the further planets. So you don't quote Prabhupada and don't repeat Prabhupada's words. Never ever. Prabhupada did it because that time the situation was different. So never ever repeat those things. They are not like absolute existence of the planets. Okay? So, then, so on this particular day, the moon is placed little higher. So in that way, it is above. But it is not far from the sun. It is actually very close. The distance between the earth and sun is about 12 million yojanas. Between the earth and the moon it is just 30,000 yojanas. It is not so much. It is actually very close by. Very close to us. Then, we'll discuss a little bit about the moon. Either in Ramayana, Mahabharata or Bhagavatam, we always hear about something called as Pitruloka. Yanti Deva, Vrata Deva, Pitrun Yanti Pitrunvata, Bhutan Yanti Bhutejo, Yanti Madhyajinopimam. Those people who worship Devata, they'll go to Sargaloka. Those people who worship Pitrus, they'll go to Pitruloka. Pitruloka is moon planet. The moon planet is occupied by two category of entities. And one side of the moon is occupied by the Pitrudevatas, other side is occupied by the Sadhyas. If you see backward, 3rd canto 20th chapter talks about the creation of 8 category of superhuman beings. The main Devatas, Asuras, Yaksharakshasas, Bhutapreta Pishashas, Gandharvas Apsaras, okay? Kinnaras Kimpurushas, Siddhacharana Vidyadharas, and Pitrus and Sadhyas. Pitrus and Sadhyas, though they have two different names, but they are same category of superhuman beings. And both of them are located in moon. The inner portion, inner half is occupied by the Sadhyas, and the outer half is occupied by the Pitrus. So for all practical purposes, whenever we say that Pitruloka, means the moon that we see every day. That is called Pitruloka. And then, now, every day we experience sun. Okay, forget it. What is sun? From all practical point of view, the way we experience sun, what it is? It is fire. In the month of January, in all villages, they actually put bonfire. So the fire has two qualities. One is, it gives us light, it gives us heat and light. So the sun is made up of condensed fire element. You take a lot of fire and put together at one place. That is a fiery ball. That is sun. And similarly, the earth is an abode made up of earth element. Earth is an abode made up of condensed earth element. You take the earth element and put them together. It is the earth element. In order to keep all the dust particles together, we need to provide water continuously. If you stop giving water to dust, it becomes disintegrated, it goes into different directions. But in order to keep it together, like a huge mass, a block, a body, you need to provide water continuously. That's why on the surface of the earth, we have so many oceans. The day all the oceans dry up, the entire earth becomes disintegrated into sand particles or dust particles. There no one can stay. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says in the 15th chapter, what was that verse? Gam avishesha bhutani dharayami ahamojasa. Pushnami avishesha sarva soma bhutva rasatmaka. There it says that it is by my potency all the dust particles are combined together and the earth remains stable, and hence on the surface of the earth all of us can construct a house, a temple, a garden, a water pond, a road, everything. If all the earth particles are not combined together and it is not stable, whatever we construct here, it will submerge into the, or it will go into the oblivion. The earth becomes daldal. Daldal. It is like you keep going inside only. You can't stay at one place. That is by Lord's potency. It is all happening. Okay? And then, just like earth is condensed earth element, the Bhumandala is condensed earth element, the sun is condensed fire element, similarly, the moon is made up of condensed water element. It is actually a icy planet. Because sun is a fiery planet, we get sun rays filled with lot of fiery energy. Similarly, moon is a watery planet, we get the moon rays filled with lot of coolness. And hence Lord Krishna says, Pushnami avashish sarva soma bhutva rasatmaka. Soma is rasa atmaka. Soma is made up of rasa. It is full of rasa. What kind of rasa? Raso mapsukauntaya. Rasa is actually indicative of water. It is actually made up of water. Because moon is made up of water, the moon rays carries that water energy. That's why we get all the juicy substances in all our vegetables. So it is like that. If at all somebody traveling to moon, they should travel to a icy planet. Moon is a icy planet. If at all somebody going to moon, they should go to a icy planet. They cannot go to a planet with a surface of sand, mud, rocks, mountains, etc., etc. This is the Vedic understanding. This is the verse quoted from Vayu Puranam. Gana Toyatmakam Tatra Mandalam Shashinasmritam Gana Tejomayam Shukla Mandalam Bhaskara Sute. Bhaskara is Gana Tejomayam. Teja means fire. It is solidified fire. Maybe there, I don't remember. So then, in Rigveda, there is a shloka which talks about the measurements in relation to sun, moon, and earth. In relation to a number with which we are so much familiar, 108. The diameter of the earth is 1000 yojanas. And the diameter of the sun disk, the sun which whom we see every day morning to evening, like every day morning we see this much it appears. The actual diameter in its original location, it is actually equal to 108 times to the diameter of the earth. The earth is 1000. The sun is 108 into 1000. 108,000 yojanas. 108,000 yojanas is the diameter of the sun. And the distance between the earth and sun is 108 times to the diameter of sun. 108,000 into 108, it becomes 11.664 million yojanas. Sri Tulasidas has said the distance between sun and earth is 12 million yojanas, Yuga Sahasra Yojana. But the actual distance is 11.664. The round figure of 11.664 is 12. That's why he said 12. When you convert this into kilometers, it comes exactly 150 million kilometers. Not less, not more. And when you see the sun in the morning, he appears to be this much disk. If the horizon, which is going all around, is about 360 degrees, the sun disk occupies an angle of half degree. And according to these numbers, it is 1 by 100 radians, which is about 0.53 degrees, little more than half degree. Similarly, for moon, the diameter of the moon that we see on the full moon day, it is equal to 108 by 400 times the diameter of earth. 1000 into 108 by 400, that comes around 270. And the distance between the moon and earth is 108 times to the diameter of the moon, that is 29,160 yojanas. That's why I said it is approximately around 30,000 yojanas. The moon is very close to us, while sun is very, very, very far from us, if you take point to point distance. And then same moon also looks the same size of the disk. If you see the modern measurements, if you take the ratio between them, the ratio between the sun's diameter to the earth's diameter is about 109 times. The ratio between the sun earth distance to the sun's diameter is about 108 times. And then the ratio between the moon diameter to the earth diameter, it is about 109 by 400. And the ratio between the moon earth distance to the moon diameter, it is about 110 times, which are approximately same. This is how some of our Vedic texts also give very accurate numbers of all these entities that we are familiar with day in, day out. So like this, there are many other luminaries that are there in the outer space. As Bhagavatam speaks about, eventually, 27 nakshatras, then Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Saptarishi Mandal, and Dhruvaloka. Like this, all these are situated one above the other, all the way up to Dhruvaloka. Now, the upper surface of the Bhumandala is known as Bhuloka. From this upper surface all the way up to moon, this intermediate space is known as Bhuvarloka. From moon to Dhruvaloka, this entire space is known as Swargaloka. Whoever is there in this area, they are known as the residents of Bhuvarloka. Whoever is there in this area, they are known as the residents of Swargaloka. By the way, whatever stars that we see in the night time, they are all within this Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka. Nothing is outside Swargaloka. All that we see in the night is nothing but the residence of Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka. And Bhagavatam and all the Purana say that all these stars that we see, they are the residents of the heavenly people, and they are like the Vimanas. In third canto of Bhagavatam, Kardama Muni, for the pleasure of Devahuti, creates a aerial mansion, a Vimana, filled with lot of amenities. There are bungalows, palaces, the big roads, playgrounds, gardens, lakes, ponds, everything is there. Everything one can imagine, everything is there in that. In every star, similar kind of arrangement will be there. And Vaipurana says that the star's dimensions vary from half yojana to 100 yojanas. They cannot be bigger. The biggest star is 100 yojanas only. Half yojana means 6.5 kilometers. 100 yojanas is 1300 kilometers. When a brahmana who performs severe austerities in one's life, when a kshatriya who leads a dharmic life and leaves his body in the battlefield, when a vaishya gives a lot of charities, even a shudra who serves genuinely throughout one's life, by default they given entry into Swarga. When they go to Swarga, they will be given one star for certain amount of time, maybe 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 10,000 years, 100,000 years, whatever it is, and that star is theirs only. Whatever is there in that star belongs to them only, and they will be served by hundreds and thousands of heavenly denizens, Apsaras, Gandharvas, etc., etc., and others. And all these stars, we may have different opinion about them, but from Shastra, they are the abodes of those residing in the heaven. Jitvava bokshise mayim, hatova prapasi swargam. When they enter into Swarga, they will be given a star for their inhabitants. This is the understanding of stars from our Vedic literatures. And they are situated all over this entire area. This entire area, all the stars, some of those stars in the Bhuvarloka, they are the residents of Bhuvarloka. Those stars in the Swargaloka, they are the residents of Swargaloka. So all those entities that are there in the outer space will be known as Rashi, Taraka, Riksha, Nakshatra, Graha, etc. We'll not get into all these details. So, Okay, one point we'll discuss. In Sanskrit, there is a term called as nakshatra. Naktarayate iti nakshatra. In the daytime, we have sunlight. Without fear, we can travel anywhere we want. In the night time, sometimes we have moonlight. But moonlight is not available always. When moonlight is not available, especially on the day of Amavasya, in the past, in the villages, when people wanted to go to field, some of them might take lantern along with them. Others, even though without lantern also, they would walk. Because there is some light, because of the presence of all the stars that are there in the night time. But among all the entities that are giving us some light in the night time, the light of the moon is good. That's why Lord Krishna says that, Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. Nakshatra means all those entities that are giving us some light in the night time. Among all such entities, the light of the moon is bigger. That is representing Lord Vibhuti. Same way, when you take both day and night, all the entities that are giving some light, among them, I am sun. Jyotisham Ravi Ramshumam. Among all the entities that are giving some light, Jyotisha means light giving entity. I am sun. In day and night, I am sun. In the night, I am moon. So like that, it is indicated. So these are the different orbits of these particular entities in the outer space, all the way up to pole star. Bhagavatam says that Bhumandala is stationary and pole star is stationary. In between Bhumandala and pole star, everything is revolving continuously. Every day, they make one circle. Just like in the morning, we make parikrama around Tulsi Maharani and also Garbhagruha, etc. Like that, all these personalities, they are actually circumambulating pole star, offering obeisances to Kshuradaksha Vishnu, who is there in the pole star. That is their regular activity. So, that's how they are keep revolving. From the scriptures, the earth is neither revolving around itself nor traveling around sun. Instead, the Navagrahas, 27 nakshatras and 12 rashis and unlimited tarakas continuously revolving around pole star, offering obeisances to Lord Vishnu, who is living in the pole star. That is the understanding. So then Bhagavatam talks about the Shishumara planetary systems consisting of various things within that. Dhruvaloka is situated on top of the tail and remaining are all there. We have abode of Indra and Data, Vidata, Saptarishi Mandal, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Mercury, Venus, 28 nakshatras, etc. All these are there in this outer space, starting from the surface of the Bhumandala all the way up to Dhruvaloka. As you go above Dhruvaloka, we have Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. These are the abodes of all the great sages, such as four Kumaras, Pulaha, Kratu, Vashishta, Angira, Bhrugu. All these great sages, they reside in this upper four planetary system. By the way, all these great sages, their lifespan is about 100 years of Lord Brahma. The four Kumaras, Narada, Pulaha, Kratu, Vasishta, all these people live for the entire lifespan of Lord Brahma. And others, by the practice of Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga, who perfect their life, they also attain Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. When they attain these lokas, they live there for one day of Brahma, one Kalpa. Such kind of perfected beings are called as Kalpayusha. They live for one complete day of Brahma. And the devatas who are living in the Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka, such as Indra, Varuna, Vayu, their lifespan is about one Manvantara. But those people who by performing piety go to Swarga, they live in heaven only as long as their pious credits allows them. But the principal devatas who are living in heaven, they live for one full Manvantara period. So it is like that. This is how these different entities who are living in different places with a particular lifespan, they are actually living in those places. And then, just like Kshurodakshaya Vishnu is residing in this pole star within Dhruvaloka in a place known as Kshirasagara within that there is Shvetadipa, like that, for every Manvantara, there is a Manvantara Avatara. Currently, for the seventh Manvantara, the Manvantara Avatara is Lord Vamana. Lord Vamana, in his Chaturbhuja form, currently he is residing in a Vaikuntha, which is located just above Satyaloka. This is Satyaloka. Just above Satyaloka, here where my cursor is there is one abode of Vaikuntha. In that abode, in a particular Manvantara, that particular Manvantara Avatara resides there. Currently, Lord Vamana is residing in this particular Vaikuntha. In the next Manvantara, the Manvantara Avatara will reside. So this is one of the Vaikuntha which is within our universe. Onto this Vaikuntha went the four Kumaras with the intention to have darshan of Lord Vishnu. Wherein Jaya Vijaya stopped them and Jaya Vijaya were crushed by four Kumaras. They appeared as Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupala, Dantavakra, etc. That happened here. Onto the same Vaikuntha, Durvasamuni went seeking for protection from Sudarshan Chakra. And to the same Vaikuntha, Bhrugumuni went to test Lord Vishnu. He went directly and entered inner chambers and kicked on the chest of Lord Vishnu. It is here, all these pastimes happened, here in this Vaikuntha where the Manvantara Avatara resides for the duration of one Manvantara. So, it is here. So, like that, so after going beyond this Vaikuntha, which is located here, you have to pass through the seven universal layers. After passing the seven universal layers, you enter into Brahman. In Brahman resides Mahavishnu as well as Sadashiva. Both Mahavishnu and Sadashiva resides in that Brahman, which is surrounding the entire area, which is known as Brahman. So, for example, here is a Karana ocean. It is like Karana ocean. In this Karana ocean, Mahavishnu is residing, is there on the Sheshapanpu. Around Mahavishnu, there are unlimited universes, Brahmandas, which are floating in the Karana Sagara. Here, Karana Sagara, in which the universe are floating, and Mahavishnu is also situated. And above this ocean, whatever sky you say, whatever ether is there, that is actually Brahman. So, Mahavishnu is floating in the Karana Sagara, but situated in the Brahman. Same way at one side, Sadashiva is also there. And as you go upward, after crossing this Brahman, you enter into Vaikuntha abodes. Unlimited Vaikuntha abodes are there. After going beyond Vaikuntha abodes, you enter into Ayodhya, Dwaraka, Madura and Golokrindavan. Like that, they are situated in the northern direction. As you go upward, 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 you get to see all these particular places. So that is how Srimad Bhagavatam describes about all these abodes, how they are situated. At the base we have Karana Sagar. In the Karana Sagar we have all the universes floating. Then in the middle we have Karanadaksha Vishnu. When you come out of the seven layers of the universe, you enter into Brahman, in which Sadashiva is also there. As you go upward towards north, you enter into Vaikuntha and further other abodes are there. So like that, all these different entities are situated, different lokas are situated in the upper side. It is already 9 o'clock. I think we will stop here. I have two more slides. I will just briefly go through and then we will stop. So the area between Bhumandala and the moon, it is known as Bhuvarloka. In this Bhuvarloka, six categories of superhuman beings are residing. In the moon, we have Sadhyas and Pitrus. And just below them, we have Gandharvas and Apsaras. Just below them we have Kinnaras and Kimpurushas. Just below them we have Siddhacharana Vidyadharas. And below them we have Yakshas Rakshasas. And below them we have Bhuta Preta Pishashas. Out of the eight superhuman beings, six of them are residing in the Bhuvarloka. The seventh category, the principal devatas, the 12 Adityas, 11 Rudras, 8 Vasus, 49 Marus, 49 Agni Devatas, they are all residing in the Swargaloka. And then the eighth category of superhuman beings, the Asuras, Daityas and Danavas, they are residing in the below Swargas. The seven lower planetary systems are situated within the Bhumandala in seven caves. And these places are occupied by all the different variety of Asuras, Daityas and Danavas. They are located in all these seven lower planetary systems. And below them we have Narakaloka, where after death the sinful human beings are taken there, and there they will be given hellish punishment. Yamaraja will look through their karmic activities and he will award. If they have done piety, they will be given corresponding results. If they have done sin, they will be given corresponding results. All that will take place in this hell. The total thickness of the Bhumandala is about 1 lakh yojanas. Within that 1 lakh yojanas, the seven lower planetary systems occupy 10,000 yojanas each. The Atala Loka is about 10,000 yojanas height, 10,000 yojanas width, 10,000 yojanas length, like a cube. If you go downward below Patala, at a depth of 10,000 yojanas, we have Narakaloka. From Bharatakanda, the Narakaloka is situated at a depth of 99,000 yojanas. Bhagavatam gives the distance that will be traveled by a dead person if they are taken by Yamadutas. They will travel a distance of 99,000 yojanas. Yeah. From here to here 10,000. And between the one Atala to Vitala, in between there is Bhumandala. That is about 500 yojanas. So like that. These are like seven caves. Between two caves, whatever Bhumandala is, that is about 500 yojanas. So in that way. So this is how all these things are positioned and they are placed and they are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So with that, we'll come to the conclusion. So this is the universe in which the 14 lokas are there. In these 14 lokas, different variety of living entities are residing with different kind of facilities, etc., etc. A quick summary of the entire thing we have been through. It is actually takes more time to discuss everything in detail, but very briefly, yesterday and today, we had a brief summary of this entire universe in which we are residing. Ultimately, Sukadeva Goswami says that either by performing pious activities, people go to upward and they come back. By doing sinful activities, people go downward. Again, they come back to Bharatavarsha. But the specialty of Bharatavarsha is that here one can practice bhakti and can go back to Godhead very quickly. In the second canto, 9th chapter, in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Sri Lakshmana Chakravarti says that in any place, when a living entity takes in a particular place, he will be given a particular lifespan. If at all one has to go to spiritual world, one had to demonstrate that, my dear Lord, I am serving you in this entire lifespan with full dedication. That means I can serve you for the rest of eternity. So that please take me to Vaikuntha. If somebody takes birth in Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, their lifespan is at least one day of Brahma. They have to show that, they have to demonstrate that I can serve you for the rest of eternity by serving one full day of Brahma. Whoever is there in these four lokas, they have to practice bhakti for one day of Brahma. If somebody takes birth in Swargaloka, if somebody becomes a devata, they have to serve the Lord for one manvantara. Then only they can go to Vaikuntha. Even the same thing is in Borloka also. But in Bhumandala, if somebody takes birth in other lokas, other areas, like other dvipas, etc., they have to serve the Lord for 10,000 years. But in Bharatavarsha, if somebody takes birth, in Kali Yuga, if they can demonstrate for one human lifespan of 100 years, they can go back to Godhead. This is the specialty of Bharatavarsha. That's why all the entities in the rest of the universe, they pray that let us take birth in Bharatavarsha, because from Bharatavarsha they can go to Vaikuntha in 100 years only. In other places, they have to practice bhakti for according to the lifespan of that particular loka. This is the USP of Bharatavarsha. That's why in the Bhagavatam we see in various places they are praying that let us get birth in Bharatavarsha so that we can go back to Godhead very quickly. The same thing is said in the Bhagavatam also. After Govardhan Leela, after Brahma Vimohan Leela, both Indra as well as Brahma request Lord Krishna. So my dear Lord, because we are in that position, we tend to make mistakes. Please take me out of that position so that I can practice Ananya Bhakti and go back to Godhead very quickly. But Lord Krishna tells Brahma. When Brahma was saying this, Lord Krishna was looking till then looking towards Brahma. When Brahma started saying that, my dear Lord, please take me away from my position, Lord Krishna turned around. Lord Krishna thinking that you are Brahma now. If you give away your position, whom will I find to be in the position of Brahma? It's okay, you have done mistake, no problem. But continue as Brahma. Because there is no one to take up that position now. Same thing for Indra also. Lord Krishna says, no problem, you have done mistake, don't make it again. Please continue your post, your service. If Indra gives up that position, difficult to find out another person to do that service. So it is like that. Even though these devatas want to give up their position and want to go to Vaikuntha, they cannot. Because they have already given a service for a fixed amount of time. They have to complete that. But this is not there for human beings. Human beings can go back to Godhead as soon as their lifespan ends. That is the USP of Bharata Varsha or Bharatakanda. So with this concluding notes, we'll conclude. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Bhaktavrinda ki Jai.